And so today we're going to discuss the sugya of Eidus Umdana. The Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis through Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis discusses the requirement of a Tvias Mamon for Shavuos HaEidus. It gives a number of different opinions from the Tanaim of how we derive that a Tvias Mamon is necessary. Rabbi Yossi Aglili derives the requirement from the Pasuk of Ora'a Oyada. Right? So, and the Gemara explains because these words of Ora'a Oyada refer to two different types of Eidos, either Eidos Ri'iya below Yediyah, or Eidos Yediyah below Ri'iya. And the Gemara eventually concludes that because you can't have a Ri'iya below Yediyah in cases of Nefashos, so too you can't have Yediyah below Ri'iya. Sorry, because you can't have Ri'iya below Yediyah in cases of Nefashos, therefore the Pasuk, which says O-Ra'a O-Yada, and references both Yediyah below Ri'iya and Ri'iya below Yediyah, must be referring to Mamonos. So that's what Yossi Aglili's Makor, that Shavuos HaEidus requires a Tvias Mamon. So let's discuss this category of Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya. And for purposes of today's shiur, I think this is basically what we're doing in shiur as well. We're conflating, or we're just equating the terms Eidus Umdana and Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya. Yediyah below Ri'iya doesn't have to mean, it's a practical term, meaning that you have knowledge of what took place, but you didn't actually, in practice, see the event that took place. And so we're calling that also Eidus Umdana because it's circumstantial, it's based on presumption, not actually seeing the event in question. So the first question on our agenda today is just to define better what exactly this type of Eidus is and whether there are multiple types of it. And in order to do that, we're going to use a little window of a different question of whether Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya is ever effective or if it's always ineffective. And if it's sometimes effective or always ineffective, so what's the basis for those two opinions? Now, I just wanted to note as a piece of background to that question about the efficacy of Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya that we have either a tension or different directions in the two sugyos that this topic centers around. So our Gemara, the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Lamed Daled, or let's start the other way. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis is coming off the Mishnah, which talks about the requirement for Iyum Ha'edim in cases of Nefashos. And the Gemara there assumes, I'm not going to go through the Shulchan Aruch right now, but the Gemara there originally assumes that Rabbi Acha, who is the Tana who holds of the case of Gamal Ha'ocher Bein Hagmalim, would allow for Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya in cases of Mamonos, but not in Nefashos. So that implies that according to the Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Acha and don't accept the case of Gamal Ha'ocher Bein Hagmalim as valid testimony, that according to the Rabbanan, Yediyah below Ri'iya would not only be ineffective in Nefashos, which Rabbi Acha would agree with, but also in Mamonos. Meaning the Nekudas HaMachlokas between Rabbi Acha and the Rabbanan, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is whether we say Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya for Mamonos. That's the simple understanding of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, before, in a vacuum, right, without knowing about the Gemara in Shavuos. The Gemara in Shavuos assumes that Rabbi Acha would extend his ruling from Gamal Ha'ocher Bein Hagmalim in Mamonos to a parallel case in Nefashos. Rabbi Acha holds of Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya not only in Mamonos, but also in Nefashos. That leaves open the possibility that the Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Acha, would at least admit to some Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya in Mamonos, even if it's not specifically the case of Gamal Ha'ocher Bein Hagmalim. So there's a certain tension that arises from the two sugyos, right? So Tosfos in both places reads Sanhedrin in light of Shavuos, meaning that they think that Rabbi Acha does apply his ruling not only to Mamonos but also to Nefashos. So maybe we have some room for the Rabbanan to accept some form of Yediyah below Ri'iya even in Mamonos. So anyway, that's the background to that question of the efficacy of Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya. And again, we're going to use that as a window into understanding better the definition of Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya. What is that Eidus? And then we're going to discuss a whole bunch of nafkaminas in terms of the scope of the cases in which Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya would be ineffective, effective, and what do those cases depend on of whether we allow for Eidus Yediyah below Ri'iya. So let's start again with what I'm terming to be this window question. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're trying to get to the ultimate question of defining Eidus Yedia B'lo Re'ia. When I have knowledge as a witness of a certain event, but I didn't see the actual event in question, so how do we define that knowledge, or how do we define the testimony that I give based on that knowledge? So in order to get to that, to the answer to that question, first let's just discuss a machlokas, at least the way we present it in Shir, a machlokas of whether Eidus Yedia B'lo Re'ia is ever effective. So from what we read in the Ramban and the Hasagos in Sefer HaMitzvos, we argue that according to the Ramban, Eidus Yedia B'lo Re'ia never works. You can ask a Pasha Kasha. So how would the Ramban explain the Gemara in Shavuos on Mem Vav Amid Beis, where the Gemara says that in a case of Nechbal, or the Mishnah says that a Nechbal, that's one of the cases of Nishbav and Notel. Avrami, you got up to Mem Vav Amid Beis with Jakey, right?
Oh boy. Not
okay, so anyway, so Nishbav and Notel, Nechbal is one of the cases of Nishbav and Notel, and the Gemara Shavuos Mevav and Beis says that if you have a case of Yedia B'lo Re'ia, meaning you really know what happened. So let's say like there was the Nechbal and there was one other guy there, and there was the bite mark or whatever, I don't know, was on the back of his neck, so he wasn't able to do it to himself. So clearly it was the guy who was with the Nechbal who committed this Chavala. So then the Gemara says that you don't even need a Shvua in that case. So clearly we rely on such Eidus in cases of Mamonos. So how could you say that there's an opinion out there that says that we never rely on such Eidus? So we suggested that maybe the Ramban would agree with the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin. The Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin is the one who says that that din in the Gemara in Shavuos Mem Vav Amid Beis is a din d'Rabban. It's like Takana de Rabbanan that we rely on Eidus Yedia B'lo Re'ia in that case. But when it comes to Dinim D'Oraisa, so we're not going to rely on Eidus Yedia B'lo Re'ia even in cases of Mamonos. We suggested maybe the Ramban would agree. So far we have the Ramban and the Yad Ramah as saying that Eidus Yedia B'lo Re'ia is just purely ineffective. We quoted the Maharik as saying such as well. Natan is not here, but I didn't see the Maharik inside. But I take his word for it. And if you look at the Gra in Avinu Ezer, Membeis Tazayin, he also implies that in cases of Mamonos, he has a very strong, I think a very strong language, and in cases of Mamonos, you need a Mamish Re'ia. In which case, Yedia B'lo Re'ia would not work. Avinu Ezer, Membeis Tazayin. Tell me what you think about that. Okay. So now let's break this down. If there really is that an opinion out there, I think the Yad Ramah is probably the best evidence for this opinion. But if there is really this opinion out there that Yedia B'lo Re'ia never works, so what are the two assumptions that drive this opinion? So number one, they're going to say that any effective Eidus requires Re'ia, and they're going to say that the cases of Yedia B'lo Re'ia don't constitute a Re'ia. And again, when I use the term Yedia B'lo Re'ia, I'm using it in the pragmatic sense, right? Meaning that the person didn't in practice see the event in question. So you could distinguish that from the legal sense, which we're going to do later, that legally he might be considered to see the event. But I'm using it in the practical sense. So those are the two assumptions that drive this opinion. So then if you have deos that disagree, which we have many of, including Tosos and Shavuos, Lam and Dalid, who apply Eidus Yedia B'lo Re'ia for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, not only in Mamonos, but also in Nefashos. We didn't stress that opinion in Shir so much, but it's important to know. Tosos Alatar thinks Rabbi Yossi Aglili would be Machshir Eidus Yedia B'lo Re'ia for cases of Nefashos. The Rambam is very clear that Eidus Yedia B'lo Re'ia works in Mamonos. So how would they explain why Eidus Yedia B'lo Re'ia would work? So they would reject one of the two assumptions that we outlined. Either they think that effective Eidus doesn't actually require Re'ia. You could have a legitimate Eidus even without a Re'ia. As long as you have sufficient knowledge of the event that took place, your Eidus is Ksheira. Or they could say that in certain cases, your Eidus will be Kosher despite the fact that in practice you didn't see, because legally we consider you to have seen the event. So you reject one of the two assumptions. Okay, yeah. I don't think we quoted in Shir. I just saw it when I was... I just saw it myself. That was my own diuk.
What about Shua?
Yeah, but he phrases it as mamonos, no? Yeah. You don't think the Idus Ria Be'inan is modifying Kamo B'Mamon?
I thought that Kamo B'Mamon was modifying the way the money came to her hand.
Read it again, one more time. Oh, I wasn't reading it that way. You're reading it Ukumon B'Mamon like a matana. That wouldn't be Ukumon B'Mamon. Are you guys listening? Is anyone listening?
Or is the Adramah listening?
The Adramah is definitely there. That's on Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Okay, yeah, I thought Ukumon B'Mamon meant the standard for Edus. Okay, so what emerges from this machlokas between the Rishonim of whether we are machshir ever, Edus Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah, what emerges from this machlokas are a number of different ways that we can define what Edus Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah really is, according to the law, meaning halachically. So that's in the next section on your outline if you're looking. So I turned it like Gidrei Edus Umdinah. And so we could have different levels or different definitions of what Edus Umdana is in different cases. So the one that's least effective, meaning that it's not effective at all, is one that doesn't generate sufficient knowledge with regard to the event in question. Because it generates some knowledge, meaning you have some idea of what happened, but it's not sufficient in order for us to act based on that testimony. Then you could have an intermediate level where the Edus is considered to generate sufficient knowledge about the event in question, but it's not considered a legal seeing, a legal re'iyah of the event in question. And within that, you might be able to distinguish between mamonos and nefashos. Meaning that's the way that Itamar was reading the whole sugya. Meaning if you think that in nefashos, all that we care about also is yediyah, so you'll say, according to some shitos, and we'll get to this in a second, that the level of yediyah required in mamonos differs from the level of yediyah required in nefashos. The level of yediyah required in nefashos is of a higher level than the one required in mamonos. But nonetheless, edus yediyah b'lo re'iyah, at its core, its definition, is just testimony that relies on sufficient knowledge. And then you could have a final category, which almost like kind of transcends the term yediyah b'lo re'iyah, and it means that this testimony is rooted not only in knowledge, but also in what's considered a legal re'iyah. Right, so according to the Ramban and the Yad Ramah, we would always need that re'iyah. According to the Rishonim who are machshir edus yediyah below re'iyah, in its like literal sense, then there could be cases where we suffice with edus that's rooted in sufficient knowledge. Is that clear so far? Okay, so that's the background to this. So the machlokas of whether edus yediyah below re'iyah is ever effective, and we use that as a kind of window into trying to define better what edus yediyah below re'iyah is in these four different levels of what it could be. So now let's discuss the different cases in which edus yediyah below re'iyah plays out, and we're going to use these as kind of litmus tests to see, first of all, what type of edus these cases require, and how we're viewing the edus in each of the cases. So let's start with nefashos. So can you have edus yediyah below re'iyah in cases of nefashos? So we quoted before from Tosos and Shuas Lamed Daled that according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who seems to be representing the opinion of the Rabbanan, I mean, we don't know that Rabbi Yossi Haglili would differ from the Rabbanan in Sanhedrin, so you could have yediyah below re'iyah nefashos. What would be that case? So Tosos takes the parallel of Shuas Mem Vav Amid Beis and applies it to nefashos. Just as Tosos assumes, just as everyone agrees to the case of Mem Vav Amid Beis with Nechbal, so too everybody will agree to the case of Nechbal in nefashos. The parallel of Nechbal and nefashos. And presumably, what Tosos is saying here is that as long as you have sufficient knowledge, then the edus is kosher. This was like a good raya for Itamar's position. Right? Everything is just based around how much knowledge you have. So if you have enough knowledge, it's going to work. Yeah.
Sorry, can we go back for a second?
Yeah.
Is there a focus in what that case is? In the Gemara itself?
No. There's no machlokas there. Memfavim would be, that's why it's such a good raya, because the Gemara just says it straight out. It's not.
Okay, except the Amar Mah, when he makes his comment that it's the Hanadar Abana.
Yeah.
But he said that it's the Hanadar Abana, and that when it's Yashar Lach Bol Ba'atzma, it's the Hanadar Abana that you take a shvuah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, it's Hanadar Abana that you take a shvuah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's his Lashon?
Right, yeah, and then after that he says, He's Amar of Yehuda, Loshon Al Makam Shia Balach Bol Atzma, Makam Shia Inya Balach Bol Atzma, No Tov Shlo B'shvuah. Like that statement in the Gemara, it says Hasam Lekam Uma Kla. That's not even considered Eidos Amina. Okay, I'm reading Eidos Uma Psula, but the Imam Anos
Amulei
Eika Lemeimar Delak Yu Azke.
So I throw that out. Okay. So then, what Isaac's pointing out is that I was a little suspect of this also to begin with, because I didn't think anyone really holds to this. But what Isaac's pointing out is the Yad Ramah, I think, was quoted incorrectly. I mean, I have to see it again, but I trust Isaac. So what the Yad Ramah is really saying is that the Tak. What?
You should definitely see it again.
Okay. According to Isaac, what the Yad Ramah is saying is that the Takana Dirabanan is not the din in Shavuos Menfavim and Beis is not a Takana Dirabanan. That is the din in Shavuos Menfavim and Beis is not even Eidos Umdana. That's like clear. That's Eidos that everyone would accept, even though there was no Re'iyah, because it just it doesn't fall into the category of Umdana because it's a Yediyah Muchletes. What the Takana Dirabanan is that in certain cases of I Efshar Lechabel Ba'atzmo, I guess that fall short of the Gemara Memfava Midbeis, nonetheless, there's a Takana Dirabanan that you wouldn't have to take a Shvuah. That's what you read to me.
Sure.
No?
It just sounds like if there's two readings in the Gemara.
Okay, so then I didn't catch it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to revisit the Yad Ramah. Nonetheless, we certainly interpreted the Ramban that way in Shir. Again, the Maharik, we interpreted that way as well. So, take it or leave it. Okay. We're back to Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah Nefashos. So, just to catch everybody up to speed once again. So, we have Rabbi Yossi Haglili in... So, Tosfos says that according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, so, Eidos Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah is going to work in Nefashos. That's one opinion in the Rishonim that thinks that Eidos Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah works in Nefashos. So when you pointed out that works well with Itamar's Mahalach Nesugya, that what we're looking for here is just sufficient knowledge for the event in question. So as long as you have sufficient knowledge, the Eidos is going to be good. But there were many opinions who said that Eidos Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah is not going to work in Nefashos. At their helm is the Rambam. So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos Reish Tzadi and also Sanhedrin Perek Chaf Halacha Aleph learns from the pasuk of Vinaki V'tzadik Al Taharuk that you cannot that Eidos Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah will not lead to Misa, right? You can't; it won't cause consequences in Nefashos. And the question is why, especially since we know that according to the Rambam, we said this already, that the Rambam Paskins, the Gemara in Shavuos, and the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos, Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Aleph, is very clear that Eidos Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah is going to work in cases of Mamonos. So why in Nefashos does it not work? Okay. So for the Rambam, it's not going to be that Eidos Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah is never effective because of what I just said. It works in Mamonos. That's going to be according to the Ramban and the Yad Ramah, the way we presented it. Let's limit it to the Ramban for now, because the Yad Ramah is Talib Safik. So according to the Ramban, so Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah never works. But why, according to the Rambam, would Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah not work in Nefashos? So one approach was just Itamar's, meaning that what the Rambam is saying is that we require a higher level of knowledge in cases of Nefashos, and the Rambam is saying that Eidos Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah doesn't provide the level of knowledge required in order to operate in the realm of Nefashos. Rav Rosenzweig went in a totally different direction and said, no, even if you have enough knowledge of
what...
Wow, okay. Gotta get brash in the Chazarish here, even if he's not here. Okay. So, I mean, somebody, yeah, now's the time when Brash would say, okay, let's move on. So, okay. So, Rosenzweig went in a totally different direction. Rosenzweig said that even if you have the requisite knowledge, nonetheless, you have no Re'iyah. According to the Rambam, in cases of Nefashos, halacha must define you as having seen the event in question in order for your edus to be accepted. If you have not seen the event in question, what we called edus ala maisa, so then your edus is invalid. Okay. Now, before we get to the different nafkaminas of these different opinions of why edus yediyah below ri'iyah wouldn't work in nefashos, so I just wanted to just reiterate my personal reading of the Rambam. So I thought that the Rambam wasn't saying something about a psul in the edus. I thought that the Rambam was saying, no, this edus of yediyah below ri'iyah is totally good. That's why it works in mamonos. But what the Rambam is saying is that based on the pasuk of Vinaki Vitzadeh Kataharog, the Torah has an extra Xeris HaKasuv that Bezdin cannot administer onshin based on this edus. The edus is good, inherently, meaning in and of itself, the edus is good. But we have a higher standard for administering onshin. So basically what the Torah says is that Bezdin can administer Misa or Malkos only if they reach their conclusion based on a specific type of edus. Not every edus is created equal in the realm of nefashos. So I thought there were a lot of rayos to this. Number one, right, just the pasuk itself, Vinaki v'tzadik al-taharog, is all about tying Bezdin's hands in terms of their administering of onshin. Number two, the Rambam quotes it in Hilchos Sanhedrin, not in Hilchos Edus. The Rambam keeps emphasizing over and over again that it's about the chasichas ha-onshin and that the azharas is to the Bezdin, which Rosenzweig agrees with. But still, I just think that all of these notes just kind of cohere much, much better if you think that this din is really a din in Bezdin, not a din in the Edus. Weiss was saying something even more extreme.
Not even on the sheet.
Yeah. That would be Howard Rosenzweig. That would be Howard Rosenzweig would respond. Okay. All right, so let's move on. So now, what are the nafkaminas of why edus yediyah below ri'iyah would not be effective in nefashos? So the first one is the connection between yediyah below ri'iyah and edus miyuchadas. For the Ramban, there's no connection between these two psulim. Because for the Ramban, edus yediyah below ri'iyah, the way we were reading the Ramban, is just nothing. There's nothing there. Whereas edus miyuchedes is a formal din that the edus cannot be accepted if it was presented at different times. Now, I just want to note here, and I reviewed this with Rosenzweig yesterday, that the way we presented Vinaki Vitzadeh Kataharog in the Ramban was not exactly correct, the way we presented it in Shir. So let me say what we said in Shir, and then we'll add the corrective. So we said in Shir was that for the Ramban, the case of Naki, meaning that he's Naki Michit, there's nothing to talk about here, was the case of Edus Umdana, Yediyah below Ri'iyah. Whereas Tzadik, which means Tzadik Bedin, but not Naki Michit, meaning we know the guy really did something wrong, but we just can't convict him of it, that would be a case of Edus Miuchedas. So that wasn't really the correct reading of the Ramban. What the Ramban actually says when he talks about Naki Vitzadeh Kataharog, first of all, he doesn't mention Edus Miuchedes. He's not talking about Edus Miuchedes in that context. He's talking about Hakasha Bibidikos, meaning Michama and Levana, versus Edus Yediyah below Re'iyah. And he says that Hakasha Bibidikos would be the case of Naki. And when you have two Edim, who one says that he served the Chama, another says that he worshipped the Levana. So that's just Hakasha Bibidikos, that's not Edus, that's Miskayim at all, and therefore the guy is Naki Michit. But when you have Edus Yediyah below Re'iyah, which the Ramban uses the term Amaslaos to describe, so in that case, we consider the guy a Tzadik, meaning he's Tzadik Bidin, but not Naki Michit. So you shouldn't be medayik from the Ramban that, Edus Umdana is nothing. It has, no shred of Edus from the fact that he's Naki Michi. Because that's not what the Ramban is saying. Rather, Edus Umdana is the case of Tzadik, not of Naki. Okay, just the... What?
The Sosra and Sofer never think it works.
Yeah, if we read it that way. Okay. Good.
Doesn't he say that Naki is dependent on how you understand the case of Chama and Levana, and his Havamina is that it's Chama and Levana, and he switches that it's Hakasha, and then he switches it to being, and he says, even if you want to say that it's Miuchedes?
I don't think he says even if you want to say it's Miuchedes, you can't say it's Miuchedes, because we have that from a different Pasuk.
Yeah, vim nomar b'shein machishin chatzi echati edus zichvar yasalan p'tur zeh mipasuk lo yumas al piyedechad. And he's saying the edus miuchedus doesn't work midin lo yumas al piyedechad. No.
Right, but so, not from Vinaki v'tzadik al tayrog. Vinaki is saying.
Meaning that's his protest in that.
Meaning I don't need the pasuk of Vinaki v'tzadik al tayrog to teach me not to paskin based off of edus miuchedus kishmo kein hu, because I already have that pasuk lo yumas al piyedechad.
Yeah.
Right? Rather, this pasuk of Vinaki v'tzadik al tayrog is telling me not to paskin based on two different types of edus. One is hakasha b'bidikos, and the second is edus umdana. And I'm just pointing out that hakasha b'bidikos is the naki case, and edus umdana is the tzadik case, which is the reverse of what we said in Shir.
There's no other place where it says that hakasha b'bidikos, there's no other makor for hakasha b'bidikos being pater?
I guess not in terms of not paskining based off of it. That's what the Mechilta is saying, right? Vinaki, that's the case of Echad Rach Ovina Sachama. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So, let's try to keep it straight now. So again, what's the relationship between Edus Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah and Edus Miuchedes? So the Ramban thinks they have nothing to do with each other, which is l'shitaso, the way that we understood the Ramban. Edus umdana is nothing for the Ramban. Edus miuchedes is a formal psul. There's nothing to do with each other. But for the Rambam, they do share a common deficiency. So the way that Rav Rosenzweig explained it was that edus yediyah b'lo re'iyah and edus miuchedes both share the common denominator that there's no edus ala maisa. In edus miuchedes, you have one person seeing the maisa at a time. That's not considered an edus ala maisa. So too, when you have edus yediyah b'lo re'iyah, you have knowledge of the you have overall knowledge of the event that took place. You know there was a chiyuv, you know who was involved, but you didn't see the event in question. So there's a shared common deficiency between these two edios, which highlights the Rambam's approach to edus yediyah b'lo re'iyah. That's why I'm bringing it here as an afkamina, because the Rambam is saying that edus yediyah b'lo re'iyah doesn't work in nefashos because of its deficiency as edus, as not having edus ala maisa, and that's what allows it to share something in common with edus miuchedes. For me, I just think that the shared common deficiency is in the Koach of Bezdin. That even though both of these cases of Edios are really actually good, Haraya, that they both work in Mamanos, nonetheless, the Torah says that you can't paskin in these cases. It just seems more clear-cut to me. Okay. What other nafkaminos could we have between the reasons why Edios Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah would not work in Afashos? So one might be Shem Rasha. Rav Rosenzweig mentioned this as a possibility in Shir. So if you think that the Edios is really good in its essence, right, but it's just either according to my approach that you're just tying Bezdin's hands, or according to Rosenzweig's approach that really it's truthful the edus, but I had trouble understanding this. But it's the edus is truthful, but nonetheless formally it cannot be accepted in Bezdin. So you might say that it could still generate a shame rasha, even if it won't be able to cause misa and malchus. I thought that you couldn't say that, because if you think that there's a psul edus, then there's no kabbalas edus. So how could you say that there's a shame rasha? For me, you could definitely explain that there's a shame rasha, because there was a kabbalas edus. The edus was good. It's just that the Torah says that based on this edus, you can't be mamis. But who says that you can't make a shame rasha? Right.
But he has a shame rasha.
He's a tzaddik with regard to the onesh. Yeah. For the shem rasha doesn't come up in any achronim, but knisa lekipa does. This is a really interesting one. So Rav Chaim Ozer brings this up. So let's say, the Rambam paskins, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that when you have edus miuchedas in cases of nefashos, you can't administer capital punishment, but nonetheless, you can be machnis lekipa in three cases. Right? And one of them is edus miuchedas. So would we say the same for edus umdana? Right? We know that the Rambam relates Edus Miuchedes and Edus Umdana. That's what we just discussed. So would he say the same thing for Knisa Lekipa with regard to Edus Umdana? So Rav Chaim Ozer says yes. The Rambam would apply Edus Miuchedes not only to, Knisa Lekipa not only to Edus Miuchedes, but also to Edus Umdana. I like that, because I thought that, again, we're telling Bezdin that you can't be Mamis, but that doesn't mean that the Edus has no force. I do think it's difficult if you think that there's a psul in the edus, but Rav Rosenzweig explained that even if you think that, you could still justify this. admittedly not exactly clear on how you could do that. I think what he was referring to is just that. I'm not sure. Okay. What? Yeah, but the point is that the lav of an Akiv Tzadik al Tarog is that Bezdin cannot administer capital punishment. You can't execute the guy. But Knisa L'Kippa is kind of like a death that we cause external of Bezdin. That's the whole pshat in the three cases itself. I mean, if you justify an Indus Miuchedas, then you have to be fine with that pshat, which the Gemara says. Okay. The last nafkamina could be Ben Noach. So the Minchas Chinuch in Pei Beis has a safik, whether we would say Eidus Umdina for Ben Noach in Nefashos. What might that be Taloyan? So if you think, like Itamar, that there's just not a sufficient Yediyah, so you'd probably say the same thing for Ben Noach, unless you said that you would have different levels of Yediyah necessary for Eidus Nefashos for Ben Noach and Eidus Yisrael. If you think like the Ramban, that there's just nothing, there's no shred of Eidus here, so you would obviously say the same thing for Ben Noach. But if you think that this is a psul in the Eidus, based on, sorry, and I didn't explain this yet, but I should have said this earlier. What would be the psul Eidus, what would be the basis for the psul Eidus? I mean, why would you need Eidus ala Maisa in Nefashos? Because of the severity of Nefashos. We want to distinguish Nefashos from Mamonos. We're dealing with life and death. We're not dealing with just some petty matter of $100. So if that's the case, if this is a psul Eidus in Nefashos, maybe we would limit that to the realm of Nefashos for Klal Yisrael, where we have these lofty standards. But with regard to Bnei Noach, where Ravunzweig always likes to say everything is based on efficiency, so there we would be more willing to follow standards of Yediyah as opposed to having an objective Re'iyah that takes care of Nefashos. Okay. So that's Yediyah below Re'iyah in Nefashos. Next, we're going to discuss two nafkaminos within the realm of Ishus. Now, I think really, like, you could characterize all of these just as Eidus Yediyah below Re'iyah in Ishus. I broke it down into two different cases. Number one, Hin Hinei De'Yichod, Hin Hinei De'Biyah, and number two, Kiddushei Kesef, just because I thought that would make the discussion, like, a little bit less confusing. But really, this is all, like, categorized under Yediyah below Re'iyah in Ishus. So let's start with Hin Hinei De'Yichod first. So Hin Hinei De'Yichod presents a little bit of a problem for those who think that Eidus Yediyah below Re'iyah either never works or doesn't work in Nefashos. Because we know that Hin Hinei De'Yichod works in order to tell us that a Kiddushin took place. So first of all, we have the application of Kiddushei Biyah Stam, meaning a Mekadesh coming to a Mekudesh as a being Mekadesh Bibiyah. Then we also have the application in Gittin of Lana Yimo Bepundiki, where one was Megarish his wife after Nisuin, but then was Lana Ima Bipundiki. So we have a chashash that maybe Kiddushin took place, and there's a machlukas whether we consider that a Kiddushin Kiddushei Safik or Kiddushei Vadai. But everybody agrees to those dinim. There's no Manda Amar that argues. So how are we going to explain Hin Hinei De'Yichod in these cases, either if we think that Eidus Yediyah below Re'iyah never works, or if we think that it only works in the realm of Mamonos? So you could take two broad avenues here, one of two broad approaches. The first, you could say, is that everything, again, depends on your level of knowledge. And the reason why we don't have Eidus Yediyah below Re'iyah in other cases is because Yediyah below Re'iyah doesn't meet the level of knowledge required. But in Hin Hinei De'Yichod, Hin Hinei De'Biyah, the level of knowledge is so high that it actually meets our standard. And therefore, we can conclude that there was a Kiddushin based on Eidus Yichud, despite the fact that the Biyah itself was not witnessed. This approach is very clearly taken by the Ktzos. In the Avne Miluim, in Mem Beis Yud Beis, he reads the Rajba this way, and the Ktzos in Tzadi Zayin is Lishita. Tzadi colon Zayin is Lishitaso. Rosenzweig opted for a different approach, again, because he thought that the Rambam is really rooted in this approach that you need Re'iyah when it, in cases other outside of Mamonos. So in order to justify Hin Hinei De'Yichod and the premise that the Rambam requires Re'iyah, so you're going to have to explain that somehow there's a legal Re'iyah in the case of Hin Hinei De'Yichod, Hin Hinei De'Biyah. And we have different ways of formulating that. You could say that it's a Re'iyas Tchilas Hamaisa, which basically that's the process idea, where Yichud is the first step in a larger process of Biyah. I mean, we don't look at Biyah itself in a vacuum, but rather we view it as part of a larger process. So you could say that seeing the beginning of the process is sufficient to be considered to have seen the process. That's one formulation. Another one could be what we were terming the virtual ri'iya, quote unquote, which is probably rooted in the fact that you can't see the bia itself, because that would be inappropriate and most of the time prohibited. So therefore, we say, according to the law, if you see what you can see, then you're considered to have seen everything. That's the virtual ri'iya. So Rav Rosenzweig said this in a lot of the Rishonim. He said this in the Rambam. Of course, you have to say it for the Ramban according to our opinion of the Ramban, because the Ramban never holds a Yediyah below Ri'iyah. So whenever he is machshir one of these cases, it's going to have to be Ri'iyah. He said this in the Maharami Rutenberg, in the Shot Maimini, Simen Aleph and Ishus. And his main raya from there was the Maharam's argument that because you cannot see halachically Bia, so therefore Eidos Yichud suffices. Rav Rosenzweig said, what does that have to do with Yediya? Meaning Yediya is Yediya. If you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. It's not going to be dependent on halachic factors. So Rav Rosenzweig said that if we're dependent on a halachic factor here, then that shows you that we're dealing with some type of objective legal halacha. Noah Shapiro, sitting in the back, pushed back a little bit, and he said, no, the halachic factors can determine what maximal Yediya is. And that's, I think, actually what the Avni Miluim is really saying. You agree? I think that's what... Because he mentions the same point, that because you can't see the Bia, so therefore, Eidos Yichud suffices. Right? So the point is that you have to know as much as you can possibly know. Yeah?
Is there any nafkamina between virtual Ri'iya and Yediya that's established by Undana, other than its efficacy for Eidos?
One more time.
Is there any nafkamina between those two understandings? Between saying
this Ri'iya and
it constitutes Yediya versus it constitutes virtual Ri'iya, other than it working? Because Rosenzweig thinks that it can't work without Yediya. Put that without Ri'iya.
One might be if you can only have a Yediya based on like a post facto reconstruction. You didn't see anything to begin with, or you didn't see enough to begin with, but you do know enough retroactively.
Why can't you just call that a virtual Ri'iya?
So, maybe you could call it a virtual Ri'iya, but you wouldn't be able to call it like a Ri'iya of the beginning of the process, because you didn't see it.
I thought the whole point of the Ri'iya, the beginning of the process, was such a Ri'iya. Wait, one second. I thought those were two separate points. I thought one of them was Ri'iya, beginning of the process, and the separate point was that since this is all you can see, so this is considered a halakha Ri'iya.
I was just using those as two different ways of formulating of how you could be considered to have a Ri'iya in this case.
So the second one's the horns. The post-facto reconstruction. The virtual Ri'iya.
Do you think that that's what the term virtual Ri'iya... Do you think I described the term virtual Ri'iya correctly?
Sure. I think it might be an empty term. That's what I'm trying to...
Okay.
Right. That's what kind of what Kumar was saying, right, with the CS dish.
So then what is Ri'iya?
Right. In what sense is it Ri'iya?
I hear it, yeah.
And then I think not doing this question about trade. We started talking, we discussed it here a little bit about if two Aiden come, if let's say there's not a Pindaki, and then two Aiden come and say, we know there's no Bia.
Right.
Is that trade?
And we said, and Rhodes-like said, it wouldn't be trade.
Right. So in what sense did they see the Maisa Bia? If not for its name, it's not for trade. I'm not sure what else, but what other gene would be for, like, you need Ria for.
Right. I don't know. I mean, but you do agree that there would be an afkamino if you formulate it as the ri'iya of the tchila.
Yeah, okay. And there's like a big question of like why you didn't see the beginning of the process, or whatever, that you consider knowledge instead of just some other knowledge.
But it's not only a din in the knowledge, I think, because I think he's trying to say that it transcends that. I mean, the halacha is that you need to have a ri'iya. It needs to be a ri'iya. In Achinami, that the reason why you need a Ri'iyah might be because we only trust the Ri'iyah to provide enough knowledge, but formally, I mean, the way it is on the books is that you need a Ri'iyah.
Right, I think
think it's right, you're saying the question still stands on why
all the halachas that we have that pertain to that seem to not indicate that it's for Ia. It's not us anymore. I mean, I don't know what else there would be for like Ia or for Ia in general.
Right. I mean, the more lax you are about how much of it is a re'ia, the more you dilute what re'ia, I mean, what it means to be a re'ia. It's a good point. Does anyone have any thoughts?
Didn't Rebbe bring up the fact that it would be absurd to say that there would be a lofty issue of re'ia, of bia, whatever it is, even if you say that it's virtual re'ia? And I don't know if that's what Isaac's saying.
Isaac's just saying, like, let's take the tre example, right? So if you think that this isn't actually a re'ia so much to the extent that it would constitute a tre'u tre', right? So then what does it mean for it to be a re'ia? Or how does that differentiate from yediyah? So I'm saying that if you formulate as re'ia as tchilas ha'maisa, then you have a nafkamina in this, and if you were able to reconstruct in order to reach a yediyah, but you wouldn't be able to have a re'ia of the beginning. Then Isaac's saying, well, it just begs the question of why you need to see the beginning. Right. I don't know. I mean, there I think you could say that it's like a formal din, which I guess also begs the question of why. But. Joe, yeah.
Theoretical anathemina, but not contractual, maybe when we have whether this atus has a status of yediya below re'ia, like when we're like analyzing like case of yediya below re'ia, when we're trying to dash in the past, like, oh, ra'o yada. So I mean, like we see by that drasha that there is a such thing as yediya below re'ia.
Oh, but what we pointed out there is that when we talk about yediya below re'ia in terms of the drasha, we're talking about it in pragmatic terms.
Oh really?
I think like in terms of the drasha, Hein Hein Ida Yichud would also be a case of Yediyah below Re'iyah. Because you didn't see the Maisa Bia. You agree? I think that's pretty clear. That's why at the beginning, that's why the first point I made was that we're equating the terms Eidus Umdana with Yediyah below Re'iyah. Because Yediyah below Re'iyah means in practice. And now when we're talking about this like legal concept of Re'iyah, that could just be an example of Yediyah below Re'iyah. Okay. All right, so it's good questions. Yashma la'ayin. All right, so let's move on here. So again, okay, just 30-second recap. So we have two approaches as to why Eidus Yichud would suffice as Eidus Bia. Number one, you meet the level of knowledge required. Number two, because of the process of Yichud and Bia, or because this is all you can see. So the Eidus on the Yichud is considered a Re'iyah of the Maisa Bia. One huge nafkamina is mentioned by the Minchas Chinuch in Chiyuv Malkus. Let's say you have a case of Hein Hein Ede Yichud, meaning like you see a Kiddushin of Chai Ve'Lavin, right? A Kiddushin of Chai Ve'Lavin. And it's a Kiddushe Bia. So you saw the Yichud of this Mekadesh and Miskadeshes, even though they were usher to each other, in terms of Chai Ve'Lavin. So would we be able to say, there was Kiddushin and we're going to punish them with Malkus? So the Menachas Chinuch says that you can only say that we'll punish them with Malkus if there was really a Re'iyah Mamish. But we wouldn't be able to say that there's going to be Malkus based on a Yediyah, because we paskin, like the Rambam, that you can't have Malkus or Misa based on Yediyah below Re'iyah. Check out the Menachas Chinuch. It's very good. Re'usamach Vav Tes Vav. Okay, next. So this next point is not so much... doesn't contribute so much to different conceptual understandings of Hein Hein Ede Yichud, but it's just important in order to understand Shitas HaRambam. So the Rambam paskins two different psakim in terms of Hein Hein Ede Yichud in the case of Gerushin and in the case of Kiddushin Stam. In the case of Kiddushin Stam, a Mekadesh and Miskadeshes, so Kiddushe Bia, Hein Hein Ede Yichud is a Din Vadai. We say there's Kiddushe Vadai in that case, that's Ishus Gimel He. What about in the case of Gerushin Yud Yud Ches, of Lanoi Mo B'Pundiki? He says there's Kiddushe Safik. How do we resolve this apparent stira? So you could say that there's no, obviously there's no stira. How do you explain why there's no stira? So the Minchas Chinuch explains that really there's different degrees of knowledge that you have in these two cases. In the case of Kiddushei Bia, so you really have a strong chazaka that there was Bia in this case, because people do Kiddushin, L'shem Kiddushin. So there was going to be a Maisa Bia. But whereas in the case of Gerushin, so because of the surrounding context, he doesn't talk about it in these terms, but this is what's mashma. Because of the surrounding context, where it's post-Gerushin, so we don't have as much of a chazaka that there was Bia that took place. And therefore, we have to say there was Kiddushei Safik and not Kiddushei Vadai. So Rav Rosenzweig had a different explanation, because that whole explanation of the Minchas Chinuch is rooted in the assumption that we're functioning based on Yediya in these cases, and it all depends on how much Yediya we have. But Rav Rosenzweig said that according to the Rambam, really what we need is Re'iya. So how could you say that in one case you have a Re'iya that produces a Kiddushei Vadai, and in another case you have a Safik of Re'iya? What does it mean to have a Kiddushei Safik based on a Re'iya? Either you saw or you didn't see. Ah. So we'll quote Isaac's understanding of Rav Rosenzweig, that what we were saying here, huh? So what Rav Rosenzweig explained is that, listen, in practical reality, meaning in terms of the facts, we know that Bia happened here, right? The percentages are the same, or the percentages are certainly enough to, in order for us to conclude that there was a Maisa Bia, right? And therefore we could say that there, as per the facts, there was a Maisa Kiddushin. In Mitzias, there was a Maisa Kiddushin. But do we have Eidos Lekiyum Hadavar on this Maisa Kiddushin? So that is a Safik in Din. We have a Safik in Din whether we can consider the witnessing of this Yichud, or so to speak, this Maisa Bia, as Eidos Lekiyum Hadavar on a Kiddushin. Okay, so Isaac, so this is where we get to machlokes between Isaac and Noah. So Isaac thinks that you still have to have a lowering of the percentages. So let's make it a little clearer. According to the Minchas Chinuch, so in the case of Kiddushin, you have a 95% chance that there is a Maisa Bia. In the case of Gerushin, you have an 80% chance that there is a Maisa Bia. And the Minchas Chinuch says that when you have 95%, that's good enough to say Vadai. When you have 80%, that produces a Safik. Isaac says the same percentages apply according to Rav Rosenzweig, but what we're saying is that even though we really trust the 80% that there was a Maisa Bia in Mitzias, nonetheless, the 80% produces a Safik in terms of whether we can consider this Eidos Lekiyum Hadavar. Whereas in the case of 95%, the halacha is very clear that this is Eidos Lekiyum Hadavar. Noah, you want to give your explanation or you want me to try? Okay, so if I get lost, they'll help me out. So Noah thinks that no, the percentages are exactly the same. What?
Just to clarify, but still, like, the nafkamina between the Minchas Chinuch and Rav Rosenzweig, that if you had some way of ascertaining that there was a Maisa Bia, then for Minchas Chinuch, that's a Vadai Kiddushin, and for Rav Rosenzweig, it's something.
Yeah, exactly. So according to Noah, we have the same percentages in these two cases. So let's call it 95% in each case. Ah, so why do you have a Safik in the case of Lana Yimobi Pundiki? So what was your... Go for it.
Context of Gershon.
Okay. Flash it out for the island and me.
The context that there's a Gershon beforehand doesn't affect the percentages of how sure we are it had to be up. It affects the threshold that we'll need to say this is an idea. I mean, by a regular case of Indian, so you'll say 95%, that's for sure, idea. In this case, if you have a context of Gershon and past history, and raise the threshold for which we need for idea.
So you want to say that the halacha of what constitutes Eidos Re'iyah changes based on the context. Eidos the Kiyum Hadavar changes based on the context.
It doesn't have the nature of the fact that there is Bia. It affects the threshold for Eidos Re'iyah. It's something Eidos Re'iyah.
We just need Eidos Re'iyah on Bia.
Well,
we just need Eidos Re'iyah on Bia.
Okay, so how do we know if we had Eidos Re'iyah?
Why would that be Eidos Re'iyah? What?
Question is, what's the threshold for Eidos Re'iyah? What point is the Yediyah become Re'iyah?
Why would that be affected by whether they were married or not?
They had a past history of whatever. They were married, they got divorced. Clear definition.
So that didn't answer the question.
What?
Let's continue this conversation after, yeah? Okay, so however you want to take it, Rosenzweig explained that we could in reverse terms, for him, for the stira, by explaining, let's keep it for later, okay? Because I don't want to get too off track.
Just, I think if we go back to the recording, I think I even asked Alex why the Ram Sechoshim Shema, whatever it was, And everyone's like, so why is everyone focused on the Metzius? And he even said, he's like, oh, because you still need the fact that it's a bigger self than Metzius.
Okay.
Pretty sure. Anyone else remember that? I feel like if I remember it closer than everyone else remember it.
I think that's the opposite.
Oof. Okay. All right. Let's continue here. Okay. Good. So, whatever approach you want to take, what Rav basically explained is that there's no stira on the Rambam, because in the case of Kiddushin, there is a Vadai Re'ia, and in the case of Geirushin, so there's a Safik in Din of whether you have Edus Lekiyum Adavar. Okay, I'm going to skip the next 2 points. You can look at the outline if you'd like. Next, number 3. What about Edus Yedia Below Re'ia in Kiddushin Kasef? Right, so this is just like another instance, another example of Yedia Below Re'ia in the realm of Ishus. So we have this case that's brought up in Shulchan Aruch, right, in the Mordechai, and in the Rambah. So what about if you have Edei Kiddushin, and one of them doesn't see, he's there, I mean, he sees the whole Maisa Kiddushin, but he doesn't actually see the ring being transferred from the groom to the bride. Right? So even though the Maisa Kiddushin is Mochiach Venira, that's the Lashon of the Mordechai, so would we say that the Kiddushin takes effect in this case? Do we have good Edus Lekiyum Adavar in this case? So this is a massive machlokas between Rishonim and the Achronim. Right? The Tashbetz thinks that we can rely on very strong Edus Yedia B'lo Re'ia and Kiddushin Kasef, so he would be machshir this case. The Mordechai thinks that this case is fine. The Avni Miluim thinks that even the Rashba, who doesn't allow for the Esro case, we're not going to get into the Rashba himself, but the Avni Miluim thinks that the Rashba would allow for this case of the Tabas, and the Chavuz Yair also thinks that the Rashba would allow for this case. So there's a lot going for to allow Edus Yedia B'lo Re'ia in this case where the Umdana is so strong. And seemingly, according to these opinions, you'd have to say either one of two things. Either that there's a virtual Re'ia going on here, or more likely that all that we need is Yedia. And that's what the Avni Miluim said very clearly. All that we need in order to say that there was a Kiddushin is a good enough Yedia. So if you have everything but the split second where the ring leaves, right, the hand of the groom and, you know, comes onto the finger of the bride, so that's that would be sufficient. But there are some shitos that think that that this case would not be sufficient. You don't have Edus Lekiyum Hadavar in this Kiddushin. First of all, it's mashma from the Lashon of the Rashba that way. I don't know if I quoted the Lashon of the Rashba in the footnotes, but a lot of the Achronim point out his Lashon. It's not just us. A lot of the Achronim do it also, where he really seems to say that you need not only Yedia, but also Re'ia. So I think his Lashon is like Yedia V'Re'ia Ba'inan. The Beis Shmuel thinks that the Maharami Rutenberg would agree with the Rashba as well. The Maharami Rutenberg thinks that, you know, in a case of Zrika, even if you have a good Umdana, that there was Kiddushei Kesef, nonetheless, that wouldn't suffice unless it's like Mukhrach that it is going to take place. So according to these Deos, so this Kiddushin, where you have the transfer of the Tabas not seen by one of the Edim, would not generate a good Kiddushin. And the question is why. So again, the same yesod. Seemingly, according to these opinions, what you really need for Edus and Kiddushin is Re'ia. Just like what the Rav Rosenzweig is saying for the Rambam and the Fasho, so you need Re'ia. So too, you need Re'ia in these cases of Kiddushin. And then you go back to Heinei Nei Yichud and you explain like Rav Rosenzweig that really there was a Re'ia there. Now, why is it the case that you need a Re'ia in cases of Kiddushin? Meaning, for Nefashos, we understand why you need a Re'ia, because the severity of Nefashos and its distinct nature from the realm of Mamonos requires that we have some objective standard, namely Re'ia. But why should Kiddushin be the same? So we pointed out two reasons here. The Tumim is very clear. I actually looked it up inside this morning. You can see his Lashon if you want. So he says that Edus Kiddushin is Edus Lekiyum Adavar, and therefore you're going to need a Re'ia. We're not going to suffice with Yedia for Edus Lekiyum Adavar. Because the whole point and what we explained is that the Tumim is taking the Ritva Rav Chaim approach to Edus Lekiyum Adavar, what we call in Shir the solemnizing presence, where it basically means that the Edim are playing more of a role more than just relating what happened or making sure that this Kiddushin is something that will always be able to be testified about. They're doing more than that. They are solemnizing this act. I mean, they're making this act into something that's you know, more legal in its nature, more serious in its nature. They play a substantive role in the act itself, not only in the reporting of the act. And that being the case, so they need to see it. Right? It's not enough to know about it. Another possible reason for why we would need re'iyah in Eidos Kiddushin is we would compare Kiddushin to Nefashos. Since Eidos Kiddushin can eventually lead to consequences of Nefashos, right, in cases of Niyuf, v'chule, so therefore we're going to apply the same standards of Nefashos to Ishos. And that's what the Ran seems to say in Gittin in the context of Eidos Miuchedes. So now let's just discuss very quickly Eidos Miuchedes, which is just another expression of this same distinction between the need for Re'iyah or sufficing with Yediyah. So it's a machlokas and the Rishonim whether you could have Eidos Miuchedes for Kiddushin. So the Rajma and the Ran both agree that you can't, and the Ravya thinks that you can. But the Rajma and the Ran give different reasons for why Eidos Miuchedes won't work for Kiddushin. The Rajma says that it's because of Eidos L'Kiyum Adavar. We noted this is the only Rajma that goes against the general gist in the Rajma, that Eidos L'Kiyum Adavar is just what we call it Tzorech Birur, meaning that the Eidim are not playing that more substantive role. They're needed to be there so that we can always know about this act. And the Ran thinks that the reason why you need Eidos Re'iyah is because Kiddushin has nefashos consequences. So again, these two cases of Eidos Umdanai, Eidos Miuchedes line up in terms of whether we need Re'iyah or not. And if we do need Re'iyah, then why would that be the case for nefashos? So what we saw today, Eidos Umdana, two different approaches of whether we suffice with knowledge or we require Re'iyah, and trying to figure out in all of the different cases, do we have a Re'iyah? Do we not need a Re'iyah? We have sufficient knowledge. Do we not have sufficient knowledge? And we can continue the discussion for quite a while. Okay, so Chag Kosher Sameach. I believe Isaac will be continuing next Chazar Shir with Shemos Hashem.